chapter 6 and verse 17. 2 Kings chapter 6 and verse 17. And Elisha prayed and said, Lord, I pray thee, open his eyes that he may see. And the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw. And behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire round about Elisha. And the title of my message this afternoon is Open Our Eyes. You can bow your heads with me. Father, we come to you one more time. Lord, we ask for an anointed word. Lord, we ask for good soil, that the word will find good soil, that it will be planted and it will bring forth a harvest of faith, of blessing, of meditation. We are nothing, Lord God, but you are everything. Let this word, hallelujah, oh God, not come back void, but accomplish all that you intend. We thank you in Jesus' name. Turn to your neighbor and say, open my eyes. You may be seated in Jesus' name. Probably of our senses, the one we would like to least do without would be sight. You know, if you had to lose a sense, maybe you would pick touch or something else, or maybe smell. But sight would probably be the last thing any of us would like to lose. None of us would like to lose sight. In the four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, you'll find there's about six stories about Jesus giving sight to someone that was blind. But three of them are repeat stories, so there's actually really three stories. And in each case, they were slightly different circumstances. There was a different need. Although they all needed sight, they all came to that situation differently. So I just wanted today to point out that there are three kinds of blindness that sometimes happen to each and every one of us. And the first one is in Mark chapter 8 and verse 22. Mark chapter 8 and verse 22. And I call this the blindness without faith. In Mark chapter 8, verse 22, it says, And he cometh to Bethsaida, and they bring a blind man unto him, and besought him to touch him. And he took the blind man by the hand, and led him out of the town. And when he had spit on his eyes, and put his hands upon him, he asked him if he saw aught. Verse 24, And he looked up and said, I see men walking as trees. After that, he put his hands upon his eyes and made him look up, and he was restored and saw every man clearly. And he sent him away to his house, saying, Neither go into the town nor tell any in the town. Amen. Now, we know that previous to this, Jesus had been able to heal people with just speaking a word. When we think about the centurion who came to him with his sick servant, Jesus was about to go to his house. He said, You don't have to go to my house. I'm a Gentile. I'm a Roman soldier. And I know that what you Jews think, you just have to but speak the word. And my servant will be healed. You know, there's only two times in Scripture where it says Jesus marveled. And this was one of them. The Bible says he marveled at how great a faith that this man had. And he wasn't even a Jew. He just said, speak the word. But in this case, this man's case, we see Jesus do something unusual. He didn't just come up to him and speak a word. The first thing we see is that he led him out of town. There's some of us, we have to change the town we're sitting in for Jesus to work with us. You see, our faith is kind of low. You notice he didn't just speak to him. It says, and he cometh to Bethsaida, and they bring a blind man to him, and they took the blind man by hand and led him out of town. There must have been a reason why he couldn't have been healed in the town. There must have been a reason. Maybe he had some unbelieving friends. Maybe he had some unbelieving relatives that would have just taken away. away his faith. Buddha started laughing. Are you crazy? You're blind. Why are you listening to this guy? He's a faker. So Jesus first had to get him out of his situation. I'm telling you, there's a kind of blindness that you need to come out of your situation before God can really deal with you. He led him out of town. Now this man wanted to be healed. I'm sure he did. Nobody wants to be blind. But he had to get out of town. He had to leave his friends and family before Jesus could deal with it. He had to get him by himself. Sometimes Jesus has to take you out of some circumstances so you are focused just on him before he can do something with you. Because if you just stay in the town with your circumstances, you're not going to be focused on him. You're going to look at your situation. You're going to listen to all the people saying it can't be done. So Jesus, in this case, had to first take him out of town. Get him out of his situation. But that wasn't enough. He now put some spit. See, some of us need some mud. Sometimes the word is just not enough. We have to feel something. We have to touch something. See, this was a blindness that didn't have much faith. But Jesus understood where this man is at. Jesus will meet your need. If you need mud, he is ready to spit. Amen. Amen. If you need mud, he is ready to spit. Now, to us, we all have that icky, well, I don't want no one spitting on me. You want your deliverance. You have to humble yourself. You have to go through some things. You have to be willing to let Jesus lead you out of your town. Come out by yourself so you can be focused on him. That's why we go through some things sometimes. Because unless we were taken through some things, we would not be focused. Sometimes we have to experience some things where we are all by ourselves before Jesus can deal with us. We see that there were two men walking back on the road to Emmaus. They weren't in a crowd. They were all by themselves before Jesus showed up. Sometimes he has to drag you out of town, put you in a situation where you feel all by yourself, where there's no help, and he can say to you, do you want to be healed? Do you want deliverance? Do you want a touch? This man wasn't even looking for Christ. If you read the story, he was brought. It said, and he cometh to Bethsaida, and they bring a blind man. Some of us don't even know we're blind. Some of us don't even know we're in trouble and need a sight. That's why we're called to be witnesses. Someone brought this man. He didn't even know that there was someone who could help him. Someone brought him to Christ. And he had so little faith that he had to be taken out of the situation. If you're going through some stuff, maybe God is just taking you out of town. He's about getting ready to spit and make some mud and give you some sight. It's a good thing he couldn't see what he was doing. He'd have said, what are you doing? Get away from me. See, Jesus has to bring us down to where we are in such trouble that we don't realize he's ready to spit on us. But when he spits on us, there is healing. There is deliverance. He can give you back your sight. That's what I'm saying. We need to say, Lord, open my eyes. If it takes some spit, you open my eyes. If it takes me going out of town, leaving some situations, you open my eyes. Because I want to see. Amen. I want to see. Sometimes it's a process. We know sometimes Jesus will just say one word and it was instantaneous. But this time it was a process. It wasn't instantaneous. You may have been praying. You may have been seeking for some vision, for some direction in your life. And it hasn't been instantaneous. God is just applying a little bit of mud. And the first time he says, I see men walking like trees. Well, we all know that don't make sense. This was the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. But sometimes we limit God's miracle. The lack wasn't in Jesus. The lack was with this man. He had little faith. He needed more mud. That's why you need to come to church. I'm applying some mud today. You're hearing some mud today. Because the word, the Bible says, brings faith. Amen? Amen? So we see this kind of blindness had no faith whatsoever. He was not going to get healed unless someone first brought him. And then Jesus had to kind of take him by himself. Drag him out of town. And then spit and make some mud. That still wasn't enough the first time. Sometimes you have to let God work on you. You don't have to give up the first time. Just keep coming. Hold on. Do not let Satan drag you back into town because he needs to put some more mud. If you didn't get healed the first time, if you didn't get your deliverance the first time, let him spit on you again. Let him spit on you again. Now that would have been a title for a message. Let him spit on you again. We need to be spit on if it's by Jesus. It was a process because this man's faith was so low. It took a while for him to be able to see clearly. But there came a time, the second time, when Jesus breathed on his disciples in John 17. He said, "Receive ye the Spirit." That was the second breath. In Genesis 1, God breathed into man and he became a living soul. In John 17, God breathed on them and said, "Receive ye the Spirit." This time, he made a second pat of mud and he put it on his eyes and then he started to reach it. Can you imagine what that man felt like when he could see for the first time? I bet it was hard for him to keep his mouth shut. There's a song that says, "It's like fire shut up within my bones." When God has done some miracle for you, and you know it's a miracle, it's almost impossible to keep silent. You just want to tell someone. Shall I tell you what happened to me? Shall I tell you how he delivered me? Shall I tell you how he opened my eyes to the truth of his word? See, this was the first man that was blind. Now, I told you there were three types of blindness. This one had very little faith. The second man that Jesus healed, he was blind, but he believed. He was blind, but he believed. This is in Matthew chapter 9 and verse 27. Matthew chapter 9 and verse 27. It says, "And when Jesus departed thence, two blind men followed him, crying and saying, 'Thou son of David, have mercy upon us.'" See, they believed. They came seeking for him. See, they knew that he could do something. They knew what sight was. These people had not been blind from birth. So they understood what a blue sky was, what a cloudy day was, what the sun shining, and they wanted it back. Have you lost something the devil has stolen from you and you want it back? Yes. You need to come looking for Jesus. You need to start shouting out. Don't be shy. Say, "Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy upon me." Yes. See, they knew what sight was. They had no doubt that what it was to be able to see a beautiful summer's day. They wanted that back. And they were determined to not let him go by. They cried out, "Thou son of David, have mercy upon us." And when he was coming to the house, the blind man came to him. And Jesus saith unto them, "Believe ye that I am able to do this." See, their faith was such that they believed. They were blind, but they believed. That's another category of people. Many of us have fallen into this category. We believe, but we still haven't seen our victory yet. We believe, and we're still holding on. We believe God can do it, but will he do it for me? I know I've heard him say for other people, but will he come by my house? And when he was come into the house, Jesus showed up. The blind man came to him, and he said, "Believe ye that I'm able to do this?" Now, he never asked that first guy. He knew what the answer would be. It was all on Jesus that first time. He had to just keep applying mud. But if you will stay, even if you don't have faith, and you let the word work on your eyes, he will open your eyes. God has made it so easy. If you don't have faith, you just let the word start to make some mud. Let the preacher spit on you. It's okay, I'm not going to do that. See, let me show you something. Faith gives us the ability to see. Isn't that what it says? For faith is the substance of things not seen. They believe they could almost see themselves seeing. I want to see what my child looks like. Maybe he hadn't seen his wife in many years. And they were sure that this could happen. They believed it. And so Jesus said, "Listen, this is all on you this time. I'm going to let you guys do this. Believe ye that I'm able to do this?" And they said unto him, "Yea, Lord." All right now. "Unto you as you believe, and according to your faith be it unto you." And immediately the eyes were open. Again, Jesus said, "Now, I don't want to cause a fuss in this town, so you keep it secret." Then he straightly charged them, saying, "See that no man know it." But when they were departed, couldn't help it. They could, I imagine they left that house jumping and leaping and screaming, "Look, look!" And they were talking to each other, "Look at that, can you see that? That's green, that's blue, that's red." I'm telling you, when God has done something for you, it doesn't matter what science says that there is no God, you know it. You know it. It doesn't matter when the physicist says there is no such thing as God. The Bible says the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. Because if he has done a miracle for you, you know it. David knew that he couldn't have killed a lion by himself. David knew he couldn't have killed a bear by himself. So, but he knew that God had helped him do that. So when he raised face Goliath, he said, "Listen, Goliath, listen, you uncircumcised Philistine. God has helped me kill the lion. God has helped me kill the bear. So what are you?" I'm telling you today, God can open your eyes. Some of us have no faith. Well, then come to church. Let the mud work on you. Some of us believe, but we still can't see our vision. We still haven't seen everything that we've been promised. Just you keep coming, and according to your faith, you just keep believing it. You start to see by faith what you cannot see with your natural eyes. And it shall come to pass. I'm hurrying up here. I'm not going to be long. As I said, faith gives us the ability to see what we can't see with our natural eyes. And they had faith. Now, there was this last character. He was blind from birth. He didn't even know what a blue sky was. He didn't know what a turquoise sea was. He'd never seen sand. He may have never seen the face of his mother. John chapter 9, verse 1. And it says here, "And as Jesus passed by, he saw a man which was blind from birth." There's some of us don't even know that we don't even know. We're blind from birth. We don't even know what we really need. We have no clue. We've never seen truly the Spirit of God work in our lives. We've heard about sight, but it's impossible for someone to even, you know, have you ever tried to think how you would teach someone who had never seen a blue sky what a blue sky is or a cloud? It's impossible. Some of us are in this kind of blindness where we don't even know that we don't even know. But Jesus has got a plan for you. He is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. He came by and he said, his disciples asked him, saying, "Master, who did sin?" You know, people are always wanting to say something negative. Well, there must be some reason for your situation. But maybe there isn't. Maybe God just wants to get glory. He's taking you through a path where he's going to do a miracle and he's going to get the glory. Imagine if we were to look at our situation and say, "All right, God, this is for your glory. I just had a car accident. This is for your glory." You never know. You may meet someone through that you can witness to. One soul that you plant is, you don't know. Imagine if we had the attitude and God would open our eyes to where we are sitting, to the things we're going through, that we could see clearly what his will and his plan is for us. This person was blind from birth. They had no idea what sight was like. And so everyone was wondering, whose fault is this? Why is this man blind? When he had thus spoken, Jesus answered, "Neither hath this man," sorry, verse 3, "sin nor his parents." Sometimes we go through some dark situations just so God can get the glory. Now that's hard. That's tough. That doesn't seem to make human understanding. But the Bible says he can give you a peace that passes human understanding. Can give you a joy even when you're going through it, even when it doesn't make sense, even when you cannot see. Scripture says in Psalms 119, "Thy word is a what? Lamp unto my feet." And I heard some preachers say it's not a searchlight. That means if it's a lamp, how many steps can you see? One or two. See, that's all you need. God will illuminate the next two steps. You don't have to see the whole road. In fact, if you saw the whole road, it probably scared you. You probably turn back. All you need is that lamp to give you the next step. And just remember that he said, "I will never leave you nor forsake you." This man was blind from birth. And his disciples wondered and said, "What is the cause of this?" And sometimes there is no cause. Nothing you have done wrong while you're in the mess you're in. But it's a blindness. It's a lack of vision. And God wants to open your eyes to your situation. He wants to get the glory. He wants to get the praise. Even in the impossible situation where you cannot see your way out. You don't know what's going to happen. They send a foreclosure notice. They're turning off the electricity. They kicked you out of school. Whatever. You don't know where you're going to go. This is the time when Jesus is about to open some eyes. He's ready to open some eyes. Just so the works of God can be manifest. 2 Corinthians 4:4, and I'm hurrying. Shall I tell you who has caused a lot of the mess? Here's the answer. Who really causes spiritual blindness? In whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not. There's some people who have never come to this truth, have no understanding, no reality that there is a God. And the person to blame is not so much them. It says, in the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. See, this man was blind from birth. It wasn't that God made him blind. I'm telling you, God doesn't bring birth defects. I don't believe that. A perfect being can only do perfect things. Amen. It's the fallen nature of creation that brings all of these things. But he came to save and to redeem and to heal. Hallelujah. Let's just say, God opened my eyes. I don't know which category you fall into, but he's got a solution for everyone. See, sometimes we're so fearful. We are surrounded by trouble and tribulation. We see in the very first scripture that I read, it was Elisha's servant. The Syrian king had sent a whole army, and you all know the story, to just go after one man. And when he got up in the morning, the servant looked, and their whole city was surrounded by a whole division of Syrian troops just to get him and his master. And of course, when you get that kind of news, if you're a human, you're going to get panicky. You're going to shake. Have you ever gotten some news that made you shake? I confess. You all know my story. A few years ago, I got a notice from the IRS, and it said, you owe $445,000, and you got 30 days to pay. I'm not boasting, but the Lord opened my eyes. The prophet just prayed, Lord, open this young man's eyes. Let him understand that we're not alone. You may look around and you may see a lot of empty seats, but I'm telling you, they're all filled. The Bible says we are seated together in heavenly places. We are in an innumerable company of angels. You may not see them, but there are angels in here today. I firmly believe it. I tell you what, if God did open our eyes, we'd all jump. You'd all be going, wow. Elisha prayed, Lord, open this young man's eyes. Let him see your glory. And when God did that, he looked and the whole hillside was surrounded with chariots of fire. If you could stand with me today. All you have to do is say, Lord, open my eyes. If you can't even say that, you just keep coming and let the mud be applied. It'll get there eventually. Maybe you're only seeing men walking as trees. But let God put another set of mud on your eyes. I am telling you today that there is something special that God wants to do in your life. If you are willing and able, God wants to open your eyes. Open your eyes to the situation you're going, where you think it's hopeless, where you don't know where you're going to turn, where you don't have a vision to see clearly. God is saying, I'm here to open your eyes. You may have never seen how you're going to get out. Maybe you're like the man blind from birth. But I'm telling you, God is ready and willing and able to open your eyes. Maybe it's just for his glory. That's what we say. Just for his glory. God is willing and able to open your eyes. And I believe today, if we will just come to him in faith believing, he's willing and able to do a miracle in your life. Hallelujah. We're going to close this service. It doesn't take long to get a thought over. If you will take this word, and you look at those three types of blindness. Each case ended the same way. God opened their eyes. In the first case, he took it all. That man had no hope. He had no faith. But Jesus just kept on putting mud. In the second case, they believed. They had seen what life was like. They had seen what light was like. And they knew that he had the power to do it. And all they had to do was say, I believe. In the last case, man was blind from birth. He had no clue that he needed to see. Maybe there's one or two people in here who don't even realize that they are blind. Maybe they think this is all there is to life. But there's more. He said he came to give life and more abundantly. There is a joy, there is a hope, there is a blessing in true faith in God and really submitting your life to Him and committing all. There is a Savior. I'm closing this service. This message is for me too. There's some areas of my life I need God to open my eyes. We don't want to walk around blindly. Jesus said, if you do that, you'll fall into the ditch. But if today we will ask God, please, Lord, I don't know what category I fall in, but open my eyes. If it's mud, then put a lot of mud. Dump me. If it's my faith, help my faith. I believe, but increase my faith. If it's stuff I don't even know that I need, Lord, please meet my need. I open these altars right now. If you would like prayer, if you want to just come before the Lord. We're not going to have a long time of prayer, but all it takes is a simple thing. The thief on the cross, all he said was, Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. Wow, what a prayer. That's all he said is, remember me. Hallelujah. God wants to remember you. He wants more than that. He wants to know you. He wants to come into your life. He wants to open your eyes. He wants to bring deliverance. He wants to bring healing. Elisha prayed. I pray thee, open his eyes that he may see. And the Lord opened the eyes of the young man. He saw, behold, the mountain was full. Most of us think we're going through stuff alone. And he so wants to help us. But as I said, God's love is like a chain. It can only pull. It will never push. You have to hold on to the other end. But that chain is stronger than any chain in the universe. It is able to pull you out of any mess, deliver you out of any situation, if you will only hold on. I declare and I sense there's some healing going on right now. Somebody's having some faith. Somebody's calling out, Jesus, thou Son of David, have mercy upon me. Amen. If you could close your eyes right now. If you don't want to speak it out, but just say it out in your mind. Tell God that you want your eyes open. You want to see and know His will for your life. That He will direct you. That He will give you vision. Hallelujah. We thank you right now, Lord, for your promise to open our eyes. We thank you for the mud. We thank you for the touch. We thank you for the healing. We thank you for the deliverance. Hallelujah, we just lift up our voices right now. Church, I'm asking you to just reach out in prayer right now, wherever you are, and just start asking God to open our eyes. I said our eyes. We all need our eyes open. There are things that we have to face this year.